Well, again, good morning, everybody, and happy Father's Day. Let me go ahead and put a statement up here on the screen. It is the fifth of the Ten Commandments, the God's Ten Basic Principles. And take a look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, which reads, "Honor your father and your mother." Now, just Hang with me for a second. I want you to notice the wording very carefully. It does not say honor your infallible father or honor your perfect mother. Honor your father and mother who never really made a mistake. In other words, the teaching of the scripture accommodates our humanity. The Bible accommodates, acknowledges that every father has feet of clay, and every mother does as well. But there is something in our fathers that is worthy of honoring, and that it's good for them, and it's good for you, and it's good for all of us when that occurs. And so on this Father's Day, I'd like to share a message I'm simply calling Man Up, which is, you know, a term you use a lot in basketball when it's time to, play a little man-to-man defense. You man up. And we often use that terminology, guys, talking to one another. That means, you know, don't be silly and don't be stubborn or hard-headed or stiff-necked, but be a man. Own up to your responsibilities. Be a man. Be tough, focused, and purposeful. What I'd like to do today in honoring dads is simply to remind all of us of two or three things that dads do, and that I virtually, and in this room, you could just almost go down row by row and see just one dad after another who's very conscientious in all the things I'm planning to talk about this morning. What do dads do? Well, first of all, and this is something that we don't often talk about because it just sort of gets assumed, but dads are responsible for, and dads really give themselves to provision, to providing for their families. Now, I'm fully aware that there are a lot of ladies in this room who work professionally, and you have an income, and you contribute to the overall family economic package. You're part of that whole deal, and I understand that and respect that. But today is Father's Day. And so I want to acknowledge, though, what men uniquely do. I'd ask for a prop, a lunchbox. This is more like a purse. But let it represent a lunchbox. My dad worked for 35 years for Union Carbide, and I watched him, you know, day after day go to work. And in my early years, he did a lot of shift work. He would work days, and he'd work what was called the evening shift, and then sometimes they would call it the graveyard shift. You know, as a little kid, and dad'd say, "Yeah, I'm working the graveyard shift." I mean, that kind of, you know, freaks you out a little bit. But, you know, he'd work during the night, and I would often see my dad take lunchbox with him to work. And just let this represent dependability and faithfulness. And I want to encourage you and your family to thank your dad for what he's done to provide for your family. No job's ideal. Your dad would probably like to earn more or whatever. But your dad works hard to provide. If you were to ask the men in this room, "Do you enjoy your job?" Thankfully, a number of them would say, "Yes, I do." But truth be known, there are a number of men in this room who work for companies they'd rather not work for. They work in environments that they'd rather not work in. They work for a boss who's not a particularly pleasing person. Many men work in situations where they are beating their head against a wall, and if you ask them, "Do you really enjoy this?" they would say, truth be known, "No, I don't." Then why do you why do you stay at it? Why don't you just move to San Diego and be a lifeguard? Because I have responsibilities. I provide for my family. And that's important to me. And, you know, this may not sound particularly spiritual, but the Bible talks about it. There's even a statement in 1 Timothy 5. And as you read this, don't misread it. This is not the Apostle Paul piling on a guy who's trying to find a job, but, you know, he's between jobs. This is the Apostle Paul rebuking a lazy spirit. And he says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And what he's saying is that, though, that part of providing for your family, that's a noble thing. That's noble. That's good. That's a mark of a Christian man who's responsible and dependable in that. And so I encourage you in your home to say thank you. Well, here's a second responsibility that dads uniquely bring to the table, and that's what I would call character training, because dads partner with mom, but dads uniquely also are real character coaches. There's a statement in the Old Testament from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and in fact, I did a whole message series on this statement earlier this year, from Deuteronomy 6, beginning verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today, they're to be upon your heart. Notice, on your heart first. And then impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. And so here he's talking about being a character coach. Now, here's another scripture. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is a unique statement, because you get a little insight into what Christian fathers do. In this scripture, the Apostle Paul is talking about his work as a minister. And he says, what do I do as a minister? And he says, I'm a lot like a Christian father. And he says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Okay, how do Christian dads deal with their own children? Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Okay, here's another scripture. This is from Ephesians 6, and it's specifically to dads. You know, I'm blessed with a really good wife. And if I'm not careful, I can let Martha handle everything. For those of you who may not know my wife well, if somebody asks me, if they don't really know her, they say, well, what's she like? I'll say, well, it is said that the Lord loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I would describe my wife the same way. She loves you and she's got a wonderful plan for your life. And with a great spirit. And if I'm not careful, I can really, well, honey, you want to just handle that? Well, sure, honey, I'll handle it. No problem. If I'm not careful, though, I could let her handle things that I really need to have a part in. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, you be a part of bringing them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. What does that look like? That looks like a dad seeing, you know, little junior or little junior miss. And when you see that little one doing something right, you say, atta boy, atta girl. What we're reading about in our Bible stories, what you're learning in Sunday school, what you're hearing at church, I'm paying attention. I see you doing so many things well. And atta boy, atta girl, you're on the right path. That's fantastic. And when you see that little one getting off track, you love them too much just to say, well, to say nothing. You love them so much that a father will gently, a step at a time, seek to recalibrate that young one and say, not this way. Let me remind you of the way we want to go. Let me remind you of the way God wants you to go. And fathers do that. And I got to tell you, that takes a lot of wisdom. One of my great challenges as a father was knowing when to confront and when to overlook in love. Does anybody have that mastered? I mean, when do you just say, okay, I just need to overlook this. Everything will be fine. And then when are the times when you don't need to overlook, you need to confront? You don't want to confront on everything. You don't want to overlook everything. That's why I'm regularly on my knees. God, just give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to know, and especially when my children were, give me wisdom to know when I need to speak up, when I need to confront, when I need to have a face to face, and when I need to just chill out and overlook. But dads do this. Dads are character coaches. My dad was. My dad was a strong character coach, and he was the kind of man that I would say he comforted me. He encouraged me and he urged me to live a life worthy of God. In this audience today, you will see Fred and Jennifer Wells. In fact, I think they're seated right over here. Just sort of wave. There you go. There they are. There's Fred and Jennifer right there. Fine. Just fine people. You'll often see them working at our welcome center. And just wonderful, wonderful people. Jennifer, of course, they've been married over 27 years. She is the love of his life. Here's another love of his life, his Harley. But if you pay close attention to Fred, you'll notice he wears not one, but two wedding rings. Why would somebody wear two wedding rings? Well, I want you to hear his rationale in his own words. I'd like to clarify why I wear two wedding rings. The second one belonged to my dad, and my siblings gave it to me after Dad died last summer. I was very touched to receive his wedding ring and felt that by wearing it, I would be honoring his memory. My dad was an amazing man. He was married to my mom for 57 years. Mom died in May 2007. Dad loved mom dearly, and by observing him for many years, my brother and I learned how to treat our wives. Dad worked very hard all of his life to provide a good living for his family. He sometimes worked as many as three jobs at a time to provide for us. My dad served honorably in the Navy in World War II and the Korean War, and his actions showed us time and time again what it really means to be a Christian man. And every time I look at my hand and see that ring, I think about all the sacrifices he made for his family. My dad was my hero. I want to say that one more time. My dad was my hero. And for many reasons, I am proud to wear his wedding ring. Now, my own wedding ring means a lot to me also. It represents 27 incredible years of marriage to my beautiful and wonderful wife, Jennifer. She's an amazing woman, and I'm quite a lucky guy. God's been good to us, blessed us with three fantastic children and our first grandchild on the way this summer. But I will tell you, Fred Wells was a blessed man. He is the son of a good man. I am the son of a good man. That's a wonderful legacy. Dads, I salute you. You are the first line of character coaching in the lives of your children. What do dads do? They provide. And that's a noble thing. That's not to be overlooked. They train character. And they do it through their teaching, through their coaching. They do it a lot. Through their own example. Here, you watch me. I'll make mistakes. I'm going to show you even how to apologize. But you watch me. Let's do life together. And then thirdly, the third thing that I would underscore, and this is huge as well. Dads bring affection into the lives of their children. And moms do that almost naturally and you know, I think more easily than we do. But the affection from a father to his children is almost, its worth is almost incalculable. It is so powerful. And gentlemen, some of you may have grown up in an environment where those affectionate touches and affectionate words did not come to you. I want to encourage you to just say, no more. That kind of non-affectionate living stops here. And with my children and with my grandchildren, they are going to feel my tender touch and they are going to hear those words that warm their hearts. You know, the Bible talks repeatedly about the power of words. Let your words help your children's spirits soar. Let their spirits soar because of your words. Remember that wonderful book written a few years ago called The Blessing? That you pass along a blessing when you talk to your children in such a way where you picture for them a good future. When you touch them appropriately. And when you say those words that let, where your daughter knows, my dad would fight for me. And where your son senses, my dad is proud of me as his son. This week we ask for you to send us some photos that just relayed and conveyed your relationship with your dad and with your children. I want you to take a moment, and we received more than we can possibly use, but I want you to just take a couple of minutes and watch the screen. These are all First Colony dads and their children. I just want to say to all of you dads, some of you have been displaying affection in such meaningful ways your whole life. You've been letting those words of affirmation flow all over your children. And I salute you. I honor you in that. And for those of you who are still struggling with this, it's never too late to start. And what an investment, what a blessing it really is to your children. There is a hardball issue in a message like this. And here's the hardball issue. I'm fully aware that there's somebody out there listening and your father was almost a liability in your life. I'm sorry. That should never, it's not what a dad is designed to do. And some soul damage has come your way as a result of that. But I want to remind you that the healing power of our Heavenly Father is greater than the wounding power of any earthly father. And that is huge, and that is no small truth, that is no small claim, that the healing power of our Heavenly Father to your heart is greater than the wounding power of any earthly father. You have a Father who loves you desperately, and He wants good things for you. At this time, I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I want to lead us in a time of prayer, and then we're going to have our concluding song. So if you would, please be standing. And bow with me as I pray, and especially as I pray over all the dads. Father God, I want to thank You for being the kind of Heavenly Father who reaches down, and You change sons and daughters so that we in turn can be fathers and mothers who raise children in an admirable way. I want to thank You for all the First Colony dads. They're in a relationship with You that tenderizes them. And it gives them the kind of focus and direction and wisdom that they need so that in turn they're able to spin right around and pass along. As they wrap their arms around their children, as they're able to pass along Your love tangibly to their own kids. And sometimes I think about what the next generation of little believers will be like because of the faithfulness of the dads in this place. And I pray that every father, as he leaves our campus today, that he will leave feeling blessed and honored and inspired. God, we are grateful that we all can call You Father. You, our great, loving faithful, expressive, grace-giving, long-suffering, patient Father. We stand in your presence. We bathe in your love. We accept your grace, and we celebrate it. This we pray in